Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and worship you and thank you for the wonderful things you've given us. We praise you for this beautiful book, the Word of God. Father, as we study this book, I ask you to reveal to us the truths of this book. Lord, we are so grateful for this owner's manual that you showed us. And I'm so grateful for the wonderful things that you do. As the word goes out today, use it for your glory, because only you are worthy. We praise you and thank you now, Father, for the privilege to teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start here in verse 18 today. We were stopped off right about there last week. But it says there, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh or the froward. That's hard to do sometimes. It's easy to be gentle and kind to people that are gentle and kind to you. But sometimes when people are harsh with you, it's a little difficult to go there. But this is what the Lord tells us to do. In verse 19 he says, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Now if there's not anything wrong, if you suffered wrongfully, then don't get all upset about it. It says in verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now, if you've broken some rule, you've done something that you're not supposed to do, and your boss calls you in and reads you the riot act, then you're supposed to take that patiently. You're not supposed to retaliate. If you do, you may get fired from your job. But if they call you in and read you the riot act when you didn't do anything wrong, and you take it quietly and gently and don't retaliate, the Lord says in his sight, that's wonderful. You just take it because you're one of his children. He took it for you when he hadn't done anything wrong. So he knows exactly where you're coming from here. And then he says in verse 21 that after you take this suffering and it is acceptable with God, he says in verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Well, he's giving us all this example up here of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to suffer patiently. If we didn't do anything wrong, we're still supposed to suffer patiently without retaliating or without any guile or anything like that. But he says in verse 21 that we were called to suffer, that because Christ also suffered for us, he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Well, what was that example? Well, he doesn't leave anything out. He tells you exactly what that example is. In verse 22, this is the example we're to follow in his steps. It says in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now you hear a lot of people today teach, well, yes, we're Christians, but it's okay for us to live in sin. No, that's not what the word says. You are not to live in sin. So many people got the wrong idea because we're under grace. We have a license to sin. That is not true. Don't listen to the devil, because that will open the door for him to get legal access to you. When you transgress the law through sin, you are guilty, and you open the door for the demonic world to come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. So don't go there. He says we are to take this example that Jesus left us, who Jesus did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. So you're not supposed to sin, and there's not supposed to be any guile in your mouth. Then he says, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, it's too easy for all of us to come down off of that cross. We are to stay on the cross. We are to not retaliate. Then he says in verse 24, says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now if Jesus in his own self, if he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and we're dead to sins, then we should live unto righteousness. But how many of us Christians come down off the cross and don't live righteously? We do retaliate. We do speak evil about people. Well, we need to repent and go about our ways. Now then, he says if you meet all the criteria up above, if you've done everything he said there, he said then, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I was guilty of quoting this last part of this verse in a healing school for a couple of years, that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. But then one day the Lord revealed to me that he put several verses in front of that that had requirements. So if you want to walk healed, you got to meet all the requirements. Woo! I mean, Lord, you mean I got to do all those things for by your stripes to be healed? And that's exactly what he's saying. You're to walk holy before the Lord, no guile, no deceit, no sin. You're to walk holy before the Lord. When you do, the devil has nothing in you, and he cannot come and put any kind of sickness and disease or pain upon you if you will walk in obedience to God's word. If you'll do all the above, what he said, then he says, by my stripes you were healed. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful place to walk. He says in verse 25, for you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So that's, he is the shepherd of our soul. Now we go to chapter 3. Likewise, now we're going to totally change gears right here. Now we're going to go, he's going to talk about wives and husbands for a little while. Likewise, as we've talked about how we're supposed to be up above there and with no sin, and we're supposed to walk in righteousness with no guile and none of those things, he says, likewise, you wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife or the behavior of the wife. Now then, this is very difficult, I know, for a woman to grasp. But the woman is to be in subjection to her husband. The Word of God says to. But you're supposed to be kind to him, gentle to him. And the Lord clearly says there, if you're in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the Word. Now then, that means that they may be lost, or they may be saved, but they're just not doing what the Word of God says. They're not walking in love. They're not doing something right. Then the Lord tells you, as a submitted woman to her husband, and you walk in love to him and the Word of God, that your husband may without the Word be won by the behavior of the wife. So when they see the magnificence of how wonderful you walk, and how you love the Lord and walk in obedience to his word, then he more than likely will become under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and that man will come into the kingdom and get saved. Because the Lord says in verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be with a hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now there's a great, great statement from the Lord that the women, you are to have a very good conversation with your husbands, and it's not to be, you're not to go out and try to dress fancy to win over your husband. In other words, you're not to wear a dress cut down to your waist button, your navel button, or something like that. You're not to go out and put the fanciest hairdo you can imagine to try to win over your husband. But you're to walk holy before God in quietness and gentleness. If he sees the beauty of God in you and you're dressed appropriately, not exposing parts of yourself like so many women do today, but if you'll walk with everything covered up, but yet you'll walk in this magnificent love that the Lord's talking about here, you will win over your husband. You do not have to put on a lot of gold or different dresses. You don't have to go out and spend $500 for a dress or for a ring or for earrings or something like that. All you've got to do is walk in love. And if you'll walk in love, you will win your husband over. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. If people could just get a hold of that, all of us, me included, we need to get a hold of having that quiet and gentle spirit, that meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And after this, manner is the old time, the holy women who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, this is a magnificent statement. For after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Isn't that wonderful that this Sarah, she left us such an example to the ladies, to her husband. What a woman of God she was. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send you audio and videotapes, free and postpaid. I also have a healing school that you can find out on the web. If you're having problems with your health, go to my website at www.tlsm.org, and there you'll see all my engagements, my healing schools. I'll teach you how to walk in divine health, and we've seen the Lord heal many people. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.